Alright, you bigots, you ingrates, you sycophants, you worms. It's time to dust off your starter jackets, rip off those tearaways, and blow into your game cartridges. I'm Sam Blanford.
I'm Pat Sellers.
And I'm Sean Kelly, and we wish it was the 90s. Welcome back, or welcome new listeners, to something a little bit different. We've broken the rules. Wish It Was the 90s, a podcast covering anything from the 90s, has delved ever so slightly into modern media with a twist. We're going to be covering the new episodes of X-Men 97. We've spoken to our lawyers, and because it's set in the 90s and is a direct continuation and it might make for good content, we've been given the okay. So the plan is to cover fortnightly, because we can't keep up because we're three fathers with children, but try and get them out as soon as possible. And this one's a little bit late, and that's 100% my fault, and I'll deflect all blame to my nearly two-year-old toddler who doesn't like sleep. So X-Men 97, just for a reference point for our new listeners, if you hear someone say Meg, they're talking about Wolverine. If there was a reason, I've forgotten it.
I believe it was Meg from Family Guy. They become superheroes, or they roll in some nuclear waste or radioactive waste, and her only, superpower is that she can grow her nails long.
Right.
And initially I thought, is that all Wolverine can do? And then obviously learnt more about
smell me. Powers.
Smell powers. Adamantium.
I looked through the summary of our episodes from X-Men, the animated series, and noted down that initially, Sam, you as a first-time viewer, didn't originally like Meg, but grew for him to become your favourite character, and a character who you loved a lot, Beast, started to annoy you.
Yeah, still the same.
Sweet. So we're going to run through a little bit of background, and then just get into the episodes. I just wanted to point out that the chief executive of Marvel Studios, when asked if they could do a X-Men animated series continuation, had two stipulations. He said he wanted the original voice cast, and he needed Marvel to get the rights to the theme song. Which just leads me to my first question for you two. Obviously the theme song sticks. I thought the intro was brilliant, both episodes. They changed it a little bit for the second episode in terms of the animations, well, who was in it, things like that. I was close to crying with excitement. I know that you guys maybe didn't watch the intro as much as me, but do you want more or less of that tune popping up in episodes?
Just whenever, it's got to be the same rules. Whenever the action starts, you get the theme music going.
Fair, Sam, fair.
Full disclosure, I definitely skipped the intro of the second one.
Instead of, you know how it starts with Cyclops, you probably don't because you've forgotten, Cyclops is usually first. They had a Magneto one.
I was rushing to get them finished so we could quickly podcast about them, so I was like, I'll skip the intro, it'll be the same as the first one.
Yeah, I apologise. So it takes
Magneto's mint.
Yeah, Magneto is mint. Speaking of cast, quick little game. Run through a few characters and see if you guys reckon it's the same voice actor or a new one. And we'll start with Meg.
Go Bill or something.
Starting with Meg. Meg was the one I was pretty sure had changed.
Ooh, we did have different ones then.
What about you, Pat?
I'm going to say, I just want to go against you, so I'm going to say stayed or original.
It is the original. It's Cal Dodd.
Wow. Mind-blowing.
Can I tell you what my, I'm pretty sure it's definitely one of these, is the next one?
Yeah, I'll just quickly on Cal Dodd and his defense, because he does sound quite different. He's, you know, what, 30 years older, I guess. I noticed it initially. I was like, ooh, he sounds quite different. But then I got quite used to it pretty quickly.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure. I just wanted to be against Sam. I reckon the Rogue's definitely different. Has to be.
Yeah, Rogue. Same. I thought Rogue was very different.
Same voice actor.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, she just sounded
different. I remember the same ones.
In my opinion, she just sounded like Rogue, 30 years older.
Oh, there's got to be some
putting
changes.
On that accent as much as she was in the original.
So that's good. We've covered
squealy sounds.
All right, what are you? These ones are. This one's a bit tough if you get it wrong, but Cyclops.
I reckon Cyclops is. Well, I was going to say the same, and I'm going to stick with it, but even though they've all been the same so far.
Paddy?
You.
So Norm Spencer, who voiced Cyclops in the original series, passed away at 62 in 2020. So he's replaced by Ray Chase. Yeah, I thought it sounded the same. I was like, yeah.
I'm winning at this point, all right?
Yeah, you're doing really well. Storm.
Different.
Original.
Points to Pat. Allison Seeley Smith returns.
I haven't got one right.
Landslide. Landslide. Show up.
Yeah, this is tough. Jubilee.
All out of that.
You go first, Pat.
Have you just realized my tactic? I'm going to say original.
Yeah, I thought different. She still sucked, though.
Sparkle different. So
we've got time
the
for,
original so voice.
No one.
The original voice actress, Alison Court, said in 2020, if they made a remake, she would not return as Jubilee because she knew too many fantastic Asian voice actors who should portray Asian-American character Jubilee.
Nice.
But she will be back for an episode to play some sort of variant of Jubilee.
A good one, hopefully.
Fingers crossed. Beast.
One more. We'll just have sparkle powers, though, so not much more she can do.
Beast. I'm going to say different.
I'm going to say original.
Original. Original recipe, George Boozer. Boozer?
All right, and that's all we have time for in this game.
I think it's worth mentioning Magneto, his original actor, David Hemblum, also died in 2020 at 79. So RIP to a couple of the OGs.
Sounds like COVID got a few of them.
Yeah, well, maybe. There is a few other ones, but yeah. Just want to touch on a couple of controversial points before we get in. So the first trailer came out and the internet was ablaze with fire from angry millennials. And I kind of thought, being a millennial myself, that we were all woke, but apparently not. So I'm just going to read some comments from some people online about a certain character's new design. I like the art style, but at what cost? 90s Rogue had cheeks for weeks.
I definitely thought about that when I was watching.
What's the issue? They nerfed her assets. Is that what we're crying about? Yes, men like John are upset they can't wank to cartoons anymore. And then this one's got a picture. Remember that episode where Rogue fights Apocalypse and she lands in a very provocative position?
Mm.
That's been the main reference point for our assets being nerfed. And Blair says, remember what they took from us. So, yeah, what's wrong with the internet? And then the other controversy is that the writer came out before the show released and said that Morph was non-binary. And heaps of people have absolutely blown up about the X-Men being woke, of which, I mean, the X-Men are woke. That's the whole point. And then some people go, well, actually, in 1963, when Stan Lee made the X-Men, they were just mutants because he was lazy with powers. And it's like, yeah, and then like 5 years later, they became woke. I mean, woke for like 50, 60 years. Shut up, you losers.
How will they... I won't send you any more emails. How were they woke in the 70s, for instance? Just
well, Storm took over as leader after beating Cyclops in a one-on-one to be the first black female superhero leader of a super team.
Not surprising.
That original 70s team had a, you know, a Soviet Russian, a German, a Native American, an African woman, like, just, you know, in a time when, you know, people didn't like Russians or Germans. I suppose Germans were probably okay in the 70s. I don't really know. Not the feeling was like, but...
Who was the, there was a gay character or member of the team at some point, wasn't there? Blue guy, or was that...
Iceman.
Iceman.
Iceman's definitely gay now.
What? Mid to play mid 2000s,
yeah, mid 2000s.
What do you mean from the last? Oh, I think there was Northstar a weird side character in one of the,
yeah, because he's in that Alpha Flight Wolverine episode, Mega episode.
I think that's when it got caught up then.
Yeah, Northstar was the first comic book character from DC or Marvel to have a gay marriage. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you're straight or just not non-binary, who gives a fuck? And if you are non-binary or just from the rainbow community, fucking awesome. Some representation for you. Like, why, yeah. Why the fuck would you care if you're not? I'm just like, they probably won't even make it known in the series either. But it's like, anyway.
Makes sense for the character.
Fucking losers. Oh, exactly. He can be whatever he wants. He's literally, when he's not in the comic books, when he was born, he was just a blob of goo.
Speaking of which, there was one of the good transformations. Became the blob.
Yeah. Yeah. Blob.
I think I always call him the blob.
Blobby. Anyway, let's get into it. So, really quick summary of the episode. So we open with a classic replay of the Jubilee story, but we're introduced to Roberto da Costa, who's been kidnapped by the Friends of Humanity, who've been upgraded with some Sentinel tech that they use as big old blasters. And the X-Men, first Storm, and then a surprise edition Bishop enter to save Roberto, and then we also get Cyclops joining the rescue mission. First instance of one Cyclops's catchphrase of "Not," and second, and seeing maybe a little bit of a wider use of his powers, which I'll come back to. So they rescue him. I think he might get knocked out, but they take him back, and he gets the classic waking up to Beast and meets the X-Men, and, you know, they want to help him, slash Cyclops seems more interested in just getting info out of him. Cyclops is pretty whiny about the X-Men not going on missions and just wanting to shoot hoops. We've learned that Jean is very pregnant with a baby boy.
Or is it Jean?
We'll talk about that. We will talk about that. And so they're trying to find out where the Sentinel tech's coming from, and they go and see Henry Peter Gyrich, who's in prison after killing Professor X. Still unclear. He definitely wasn't dead at the end of the series, but they're talking about him like he is dead, so we'll see. And then he doesn't want to help. They're on the lookout for Sentinel creator Bolivar Trask. So Jean probes his mind with Cerebro and has this really weird vision, which may or not have something to do with Pat's, or is it Jean later? And they find out that Trask is in the Sahara with a new master mold, and he's building Sentinels. And the X-Men turn up, cue the music. They defeat the Sentinels, they defeat Master Mold, they capture Trask, hand him over to new, I think she's a new character, what's her name, Valerie, what's her name again, Pat?
Sorry?
The lady who works for the government?
Something, the blonde lady? Something.
Yeah. Like Valerie Cooper. Yeah,
she's up to something.
Yeah, she's actually voiced by the OG Jean. And then the team head back to the mansion, and Psyche and Jean are about to make the big announcement that they're leaving the team to raise the baby, and Magneto turns up with the last will and testament of Charles Francis Xavier to note that he has handed everything over to Mags, and he's going to be leading the X-Men. And fucking Grouse.
It was Grouse. I'm bringing up something very late in the piece of the episode, but that's the first time I've seen a will that was like a hardback book and like the size of an encyclopedia.
I believe it's actually the same size as Hizzo's father-in-law's wedding speech.
That was a great. I was pretty excited for this. I was really hoping to see a piece of bad guy bar, obviously, but this episode gave us potentially bad guy club. Enjoyed seeing Sunspot too.
That's Roberto, Sam.
Roberto da Costa. Big old best buddy of my old mate Cannonball. So if Costa comes back, I'm hoping I can get some Cannonball action in this season.
I've got some thoughts on that. We might come back to that at the end when we talk about what we'd like to see.
But I think this episode, the beginning of the new era, I guess, the writers really show they know where their bread is buttered. And by that I mean the opening few scenes, the main star is not even introduced. They build the tension for the Meg introduction. You know, Cyclops, he gets a few scenes and it's like all the audience is asking is, where is he? Where's Wolverine? I think it was a really, really great way to do it. Great way to start. Not here for the 32-minute eps. I think they need to go back to how they were. That's too long, personally. But lots of really great stuff in here.
I've got a couple of things I'll cover, and then you guys can chime in with your bits, because obviously I'd like to take the next 10 minutes to speak about Cyclops.
Fuck, he sucks.
My question is, does one eye still suck for you guys?
That?
I haven't come right over to his side, but so far these two episodes he's been a little less punishing.
I think they handled I think they handled his whininess a bit better.
The whole time he's whining. He's just whining the entire episode and like having these internal dilemmas. I think Meg put it perfectly. He's like, the worst part about being a professor gone is you.
It's interesting that they've gone down the path of Meg still buckles at anything Gene says.
That's great.
What I would say about Cyclops is we see, I actually see this for a lot of the characters, but way more interesting uses of their powers.
Yeah.
So there's a scene in
that's where Cyclops really changes because he carves up in all those action scenes.
Yeah. So you see him using his eye blast to move himself backwards to get out of being hit by something, which is pretty cool. And you also see him like using his eye blasts interactively with also throwing punches and fighting.
He flies and then uses them to land.
That when he uses his blast to cushion his landing, that scene was fucking gross. I was like, that's cool.
It's like when Snape just can suddenly fly in her Harry Potter series.
And I know it probably doesn't mean much to you, Sam, but Cyclops landing in superhero pose and then saying, to me, my X-Men was, I think I yelled out loud.
That was great. I preferred when Magneto said it at the end.
Mm.
I thought that was real good.
Yeah, that was good callback.
That's a classic, like, that pops up once every couple of years in an X-Men comic and someone leading a team says it, and it's always mint. I was really curious how they were going to use Morph in fights. And when he turned into Archangel to fly around and make sure people didn't crash land, and then when he turned into Blobby to give Wolverine a boost, I thought that was rad.
Speaking of Morph, I am all here for the Morph-Meg relationship.
The bromance.
Which we didn't really get, but I think you guys probably alluded to it quite a lot. Especially when he did his imitation of Gene, having the most beautiful baby in the world with the most boring man in the world. That was so good.
Yeah.
He also has that real good scene where he mugs off Cyclops as Professor X, which is real bold.
When he also just walks in as well.
Yeah. Pat, you would have picked up on this surely. The Gold Balls reference?
What Gold Balls reference?
When Jubilee's trying to find out what Roberto's powers are in the Danger Room. And she's like guessing what they could be. She says something like, do you shoot out gold balls? That would be weird. Gold balls is like a mid-2000 X-Men character whose power is to shoot out gold balls, which were later discovered to be eggs, but real weird.
I'm quickly trying to take a note of they're in the Danger Room.
I'm disappointed you missed it because I know how much you love gold balls.
Gold balls is a great character. He's a very important character these days.
I'd say there's probably just two more things. There's one's a question. I noticed there's that photo that they keep referencing, and it's like the Professor and the OG X-Men, and Angel's in it. And in the original series, when they actually meet Angel, doesn't seem like they know him. But then in a later episode, maybe the Iceman one, I can't remember, but Jubilee's watching a video of the original X-Men training because she's got the hots for Iceman. And Angel is in that video. So I think they've gone down the path of saying, yeah, this character was an OG X-Men. So it's a slight retcon.
Pat's going to answer this question because I reckon you know the answer. Because it came up, and my question was, I quite like that they kept putting that picture in there. So, Pat, who were the OG X-Men?
Marvel Girl, who was Jean Grey. Beast. Angel. Cyclops. Missing one?
There weren't many in the picture.
Did I speak there?
No, you didn't say Iceman.
Oh, okay. Iceman. Is that all?
Yeah, it's the five.
Nice.
The probably tricky one is in that photo, Beast is in his human form.
Because
He didn't turn blue until he tried to find a cure for mutation and tried it on himself, and it backfired and made him more beastly.
Like when he's looking through that picture collage, and he's there with a bat, baseball bat. I remember. I remember a bit more than I remember. I can't believe it.
You're a massive fan. I think the last thing I've got to say about the first episode is when they're fighting those sentinels and it's going kind of mint, and then heaps more sentinels arrive, and Cyclops calls in Storm something about the weather or something or other, and she just absolutely levels all of them. And you even hear one of the sentinels say, like, alert, omega level mutant detected or something. And I like that they've brought that in, because mutants, based on their powers, have class levels, and omega is the highest you can get. So Storm's, I think Storm, Magneto, Jean Grey are the only omegas in this team, I think. And yeah, I think that's right. Nerds, just yell at me in the comments if I've missed someone.
Especially from that scene when they just like rip the sentinels apart, like they're saying, like, they had massive upgrades since the last one from the 90s, is they just go way better without Chuck.
I think as
Chuck,
well,
that's right, I can't remember his name, Chuck.
The other thing as well is, because this is Disney Plus, they don't have the same Saturday morning cartoon restrictions, so they can be a lot more ruthless in the fight scenes.
The fight scenes were awesome. Like, I didn't hate the fight scenes from the other ones, but they were all the same. This was awesome fight scenes.
What did you think, Sammy, when Gambit powered up Meg's claws?
There was a lot more bouncing off each other. Not just the morph, but I assume morph would have to be, that would be the way he was involved. I reveled in how Beast, because Beast was always, couldn't really do much in fights apart from somersaults. So him like going into the Sentinel and becoming the Sentinel was mint.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. That was awesome.
And then Meg got thrown straight through him.
Yeah.
Then they had that real good team shot when they land.
Yeah, I think I cried a little at that part.
I bet you did.
Pride, is that what it is? Is it?
Any other thoughts on the first episode?
Now, mutant liberation.
Yeah, how good. So it opens with like scenes of Magneto traversing around the world, doing good deeds and trying to honor Professor X's legacy and take on this new responsibility, and showing some restraint with anti-mutant bigots. Cyclops and Jean decide to, well, probably Cyclops, One Eye, decides to stay around to keep an eye on Mags. We get a little scene hinting at a history between Mags and Rogue. Happy to come back to that in a minute. And then Valerie Cooper turns up with the UN forces to arrest Magneto, and he surprisingly surrenders peacefully, because he's looking to gain the trust of the X-Men and humanity. And then during the trial at the UN, the Friends of Humanity stage an assault on the building, and we meet their new leader, the Executioner.
It was an insurrection, wasn't it?
Huh?
Was it an insurrection?
Topical things like that have happened recently in the state. And Executioner has some sort of weapon that can depower a mutant, and he wants to hit Magneto. And Storm, after really kicking ass again, I like that we're starting to see a bit of a mutual respect between Storm and Magneto. Definitely stems from the comics. Someone like One Eye has always got his doubts, you know, because he's such a classic good guy. But Storm, you know, understands, sympathizes, empathizes, and so that's really cool. And Storm takes the hit. And then Magneto, I thought he was going to go full villain. He takes the UN judges or whatever they are, and the executioner out into the lower atmosphere and give us one hell of a speech. The UN grant him a pardon, which I think is still, despite what he's done, pretty nice. Discuss the possibility, I guess, of the mutant nation of Genosha becoming part of the UN. Simultaneously, Jean goes into labor. One of my favorite quotes definitely happens in that moment. We can come back to that. So I know Sam's probably written it down. And Rogue has to absorb a obstetrician's knowledge because he doesn't want to deliver a mutant baby. Jean gives birth to a son who she names Nathan. We get some really cool scenes of Morph during the insurrection as well. Beast is then running tests on Storm at the end and informs her that she may be depowered permanently, and she decides to leave the team to find a new meaning in life. Absolute cliffhanger, as we call them in New Zealand. The X-Men are very surprised to see the sudden arrival of an identical woman of Jean, who is in very much worse for wear, requesting the help of the X-Men. Dum, dum, dum.
Meow.
Maybe it's one for me.
Sabretooth at the end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. Morph.
How does it go?
We've got it saved. Don't worry, mate.
Yeah, insert here. I was pretty happy to see some good stuff from the Friends of Humanity in this episode with their insurrection. I thought it was pretty good. They now have females in the Friends of Humanity. Very progressive of them. It's real work of them. But their propaganda chants haven't got any better. It's still down with muties.
The captain still got his armband as well. Yellow captain's armband that says FOH on it.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
I really enjoyed in the fight scene Morph. I think he opened with Lady Deathstrike, Wolverine's form of flame, and then he was Psylocke for a minute, and then he was Colossus. Just making a good, like, making it make sense that he actually goes into fights. And he isn't just covert X-Man.
For the purposes of this show, he can just provide any cameo at any moment.
Mm, yeah. And I don't know if you guys watched as many trailers as I did, but it makes me a little bit nervous because I definitely want to see those characters that I saw. It's nice to have that in there, to have him be able to do that for us. What did you guys think of the Mags and Rogue scenes?
I was quite weirded out by this new love triangle. I've been thinking about it since, and I think it sets up a possible scene for the future, which would go gangbusters. It'd be like Gambit laying down in his bed doing the Meg meme to a picture of him, right?
I like that.
There is comic book context. I don't want to do spoilers, but it's not really a spoiler because it's from what you'd call like an alternative reality. But in the Age of Apocalypse reality, Magneto finds a way to use his power over the electromagnetic field to be able to have skin-to-skin contact with Rogue, and they are a couple and have a child named Charles. It's an alternate reality, mate. Anything can happen. I think Quicksilver and Storm are a couple in that reality too. But they also, there's an 80s comic where Magneto and Rogue end up in the Savage Land and Rogue doesn't have any powers, and I don't think anything actually happens, but they do build a bit of a bond. So there's context to it, but they'll obviously play this differently, I think.
And let us never speak of the Savage Land again.
I'm pretty keen for a little bit of Kazar.
Yeah, we can go. It could go back there. You're good. Had you ever seen the Executioner before? You're X-Men whiz.
Yeah.
You would have come back and died before. It was quite a good get up, though.
He's a early 90s character, hence the like spiked shoulder pads and whatnot.
It's good.
His mission is to kill mutants, basically.
He had one really good line that I thought summed up One Eye from the previous seasons. That was, "It's the whining. I hate the whining just as much as I hate you."
I had two great bits. As soon as you mentioned that, haven't got it written down, but I know that was a great quote from Meg at some point. Storm absolutely ripping. "Do not think, be silent, heed my commands, and you shall live." Oh, just absolute scene stealer. And at the start, like, Cyclops sucks, eh? At one point, he's like, "Maybe he was wrong," talking about Chuck. It's like, yes, Scott, Xavier was wrong about pretty much everything. Do you not remember the last 5 seasons?
Was your Meg line, "I'll show you a C-section, pup"?
Nah.
It's good.
It was when Jean starts to go into labor and she's like, "Oh
yeah.
He's coming. Ooh, Apocalypse."
I did have that written down.
Yeah. They're allowed to say crap.
And I didn't hear anyone getting threatened with being destroyed.
They're destroying him.
Hey, my question to both of you, I guess, is is this all of this canon? Like, is this like part of a comic book storyline? Like, I'm thinking particularly, like, I know there was something to do with Nathan, or is that the kid's name?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So obviously that's canon. Is all of this sort of stuff, or is it kind of not really canon?
It's very much like the original series in that it's close to canon, but with some difference, like
artistic.
Yeah, just to fit in with the storyline they've already built on. So the Trial of Magneto, definitely canon. Professor X definitely went to the Shi'ar in the 80s and Magneto took over leading the X-Men.
He comes back.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They're talking like he's actually dead. So I don't know. I've got no idea if he comes back.
Hopefully it stays that way.
There's enough in this that, like, you can sort of picture, or you can put together what's going to happen. The future based on what happened in the comics.
So, I mean, there's a couple of things I can talk about from the comics, but I kind of don't want to get into too much because if they do go with it, I don't want it to be a spoiler. But there's context for two genes. There's context for baby Nathan. They're both things that have happened, and I think they're both linked as well.
So it'll be interesting. Spoiler section after. And then you've got an opt out.
Yeah, I don't want to say too much more because I want Sam to discover it. But there's definitely context for those. The one thing I was going to say that is maybe a it's not really a spoiler. It's more of just a hope for. I was going to ask you guys what you are hoping to see from the next 8 episodes. And the one thing I was going to say is, in that 80s storyline where Magneto comes in, the X-Men kind of end up being their own thing with Storm leading the team. And Magneto has a new team of teenage mutants called the New Mutants. And that's Roberto's in that team. And so is Pat's favorite character, Cannonball. I'd be pretty keen to see Magneto nurturing some young mutants to be future X-Men. I reckon that'd be pretty cool. But I'm interested. I'd love to know what you guys are, what you'd like, are there characters you remember who haven't been seen yet that you want to see or see less of?
Well, apart from obviously my number one go-to would get that Gambit Meg meme done, but there was a mention of Muir Island at one point. I can't remember.
Is you want to go back Island to Bad Guy Bar?
Bad Guy Bar is? It is, eh? Yeah. It was on Muir Island.
Yeah. Well, if it's not, it's like right next to it on the coast of Scotland.
Moira.
You want some Moira?
I just want to go to Bad Guy Bar and see that Cockney Australian.
I was a bit gutted that, what's his name? Old Leek or Reek or that little Leech. Green guy. He popped up, but there's no old Mar Higgins.
Oh, yeah, that would be as well. Yeah. What?
Very disappointed. For me,
but there's hope for the future because we know the Morlocks are there. And if she pops up, I'll be going off.
For the future, I want, Magneto's fantastic. So more Magneto. I don't want Xavier to come back. I would like Cyclops to fuck off like he was going to. That would be great. but I mainly want Sinister and Apocalypse. I just like the baddies. The baddies make the episodes for me. Just give me more baddies.
Agreed. No spoilers, obviously, but maybe a small spoiler for you, Sam. The dual genes in the comic books, at least, is tied to Sinister, so there's hope there.
Yeah, that meant him in Apocalypse.
That's definitely a spoiler, though. Yeah. It's not a minor. That's not even a minor spoiler. That's what's happening.
Episode 3.
So any final thoughts?
My main question is, can you guys remember the sign-off?
Well, before we do it...
I can remember mine, which is...
Before we do it, like, subscribe, follow, tell a friend. It's always good. You know, you tell a friend, that's how we get new listeners. That'd be really nice. We appreciate everything you do when you do listen. It's really, really good for us. You know, we're on the precipice of cracking something, some milestone. Maybe, probably not, but we'd like to. You know, we enjoy it and we want to keep going, and people listening definitely makes it worthwhile. So let people know. It's maybe not your most in-depth and intricate podcast, but, well, we enjoy it. So there's that. We're on the socials at WIWT90S, Facebook, Instagram, sometimes TikTok, Threads, Twitter/X, and YouTube. I remember the quote, but I don't remember
if I'm carrier pigeons too.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, we can fax you some release times if you want. I did enjoy just Berto mentioning a pager at one point, so that was good. I remember the sign-off, but I don't remember. Am I first or are you, Pat?
You're first.
Mission accomplished, buddy.
Let's go home.
Yes, not.